Before I jump in this morning, Easter's in 2 weeks, and I would really encourage you to look around you and get strategic. People that have been believers, maybe work with someone that's a Christian, maybe a neighbor or what have you, if they're not going to another church, our goal is not to get people to leave one church and come to another one. But if you know they're not active somewhere, one of the greatest gifts you could give them and make God smile is just a simple invite. Just say, hey, I know you're a believer. You know, you want to go to church with me? Maybe take them out to lunch afterwards or whatever. But that person that just flashed across your mind, that's how the Holy Spirit works, that's the person you're supposed to ask. And so it's not complicated, it's not difficult, but I'd encourage you. Our goal as a church and our mission is to reach as many people as we can for Christ, take as many people to heaven with us as we can, and to help people grow in their faith, help people grow in their faith. We are wrapping up our series, Let It Move You, and we've been talking about the grace of God, and that not only are we saved by grace, but that we live in grace, which means that we can live boldly as Christians, because not only is God in us and with us, but God is actually for us and for our lives. And grace changes things. It changes how we see the world. It changes how we see ourselves, how we see our past, and how we see our future. And it should change how we live. I believe grace changes absolutely everything in our lives. And today what I want to look at is how grace helps us grow in our faith. In other words, growth doesn't just happen. Growth requires action on our part, and it requires movement on our part. And it's been my observation through the years that people make the mistake of thinking that because they're involved in something, that they grow. And that by just simply attending something, that they automatically, growth happens. And I will tell you that is not true. It does not work that way. You know, for instance, if I decided I wanted to get healthier and I wanted to get in better shape in my life, I could read all kinds of articles about how to get healthy. I could read blogs about health. I could have a lot of conversations with people about health, research health clubs around the area. I could even join a health club. And let's say after I join the health club that I'm committed that I'm going to go every day to the health club. And so I show up, I change into my workout clothes, I head to the weight room, and then I find a bench and I watch everybody exercise. Probably get someone go, what's he up to? We need to get him out of here. But anyway, let's say I do that, and I hang around for about an hour at the health club. And then I get up, I head into the locker room, change clothes. But on the way, one of the trainers sees me and goes, hey, how was your workout? Oh, man, it was great. It was great. It really feels great to be in a gym again, you know. Now, what if I did that every day for a year? I know, you're going, you're nuts, you're crazy. Damon, you will not get in shape going to the health club every day. You need more than that to get in shape. Well, friends, I will tell you the same thing's true in your spiritual life. You need more. The fact is, growth does not just happen. Because you talk about it, because you're in church, it requires more, and I believe it requires grace. Grace not only helps you get started in your Christian walk, but it keeps you going, and it helps you grow and change over time. The fact that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord does not guarantee that you will change, that you will grow. It requires you to actually move and do something. You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, we live in grace. We live in grace. God wants you to grow. And God has a process for that. And that process as we move along, it allows us to have this growth and change in our life. And I know some of you think, well, you know, if I try a little harder in my life, then I'll grow. You know, if I run a little bit faster in my life, I'll grow. And I will tell you, that's not it. That's not how you grow. In fact, if you buy into that theory that by running harder and running faster that you're going to grow in your life, you will deal with a lot of guilt in your life. See, it's not a matter of trying harder. You know, Ephesians, Paul writes this. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupt by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. God moves you in your life, and it is a three-part process. First, you have to put off the old. You have to put off the old ways, the old ideas, the old corruption in your life, those deceitful thoughts, the things that trip you up, that old self. See, my life without Jesus Christ, my life before grace is what I have to put off. You know, it's the challenge, I think, for us today is that those old ways that you thought you could make yourself better do not work. They do not work. You know, that idea, if I do enough good things, then I'll grow. You're deceiving yourself. You know, Jesus did a lot of teaching about spiritual growth. One of the scriptures he's teaching in Matthew records, he says, neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skin will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. It's kind of an odd scripture. You know, you kind of go, well, what's Jesus talking about? In that day, winemaking was very, very different than it is today. You know, in other words, they would pour new wine after they had made it, and they would put it into a new leather wineskin. And as the wine began to ferment, it would begin to expand. And so that new wineskin would expand with it. But what happened over time with wineskins, as they got older, they'd get worn, they'd get brittle, they'd get hard. And so if you took new wine, you made a new batch of wine, and you put it in the old wineskin, what would happen? The wineskin would not expand. The wine was expanding, but the wineskin wouldn't, and it would burst, and so everything's ruined. You know, you'd lose the wineskin, you'd lose the wine. And Jesus is saying, you have the capacity to grow as a Christian. You have the capacity to expand in your life, but it will not happen if you're trying to grow with an old wineskin. In other words, your way, you know, the old way of trying to make a better you. You know, you think by doing enough good things that you'll grow. If you think the goal is a better version of yourself, look in the mirror. That's not the goal. It's not the goal. The fact is, you're absolutely wrong. It's not a better you. God wants to work and change us. I mean, that God works with a new idea, a new way. And I know some of you go, well, it's worked for me a little bit, you know. Well, yeah, it'll work a little bit at the beginning where you try and make a better you. But the fact is, at some point, it's a bust. It's a bust. You have to take off the old and put on the new that God gives you, a new way. You cannot grow by being good enough. You cannot. You will not grow. It hasn't worked to date, and it's not working now. You know, Hebrews, the writer says, the old rules then is set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law of Moses, let's talk about the Ten Commandments mainly there, but the law of Moses could not make anything perfect. And now a better hope has been provided through which we can come near to God. That scripture saying, okay, even if you could obey all the laws, the rules, so to speak, you couldn't do it. The fact is, it's impossible for you to obey all those rules. Obeying rules will not change you. You know, even if you could obey every single rule, you would not grow. You'd sit idle. See, rules are important. Rules have a function. You know, rules are important in our society. The fact is, you can bring order to things with rules. You might be able to control yourself because of a rule. But I will tell you, you cannot grow because you follow the rules. The fact is, your heart is strengthened not by obeying rules, but by grace, this thing we've been talking about. You might think of grace kind of like jets in an airplane. It's the power in your life. Grace is that power. And rules are merely the flight plan, so to speak. In other words, rules give you direction. I need to move this direction, or I need to move that direction in my life. God's grace gives you the power to move toward what you need to be moving toward. That's a new way to live. You know, the old way, it's keeping rules. I got to keep this rule, got to keep this rule. That's religion. The fact is, growth comes not by a religion, but by a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with God, allowing God's grace to power you and move you forward. And the fact is, you cannot grow. Get this, you cannot grow by keeping rules. You can't. And you can't grow by feeling really bad about yourself. You know, guilt is a terrible, terrible motivator. It will not grow you. It will not change you. It'll frustrate you. You know, and we talked a lot about this, so I'm not going to spend much time on it, but talked about this several weeks ago, that whole faulty thinking that we get caught up in. If I really feel bad about myself, if I pile on enough guilt, oh, I can't believe I did that, and that I'll change, that I'll get my act together, that I'll grow. And it does not work. Terrible motivator, guilt is. I made a decision early in my ministry. I'd never use guilt to get people to move from point A to point B in their life, because it doesn't work. I do not get better feeling guilty. I just feel worse. I just feel worse. I'm ashamed when I feel guilty. And it's not what God intended for your life. Paul writes this in Romans. He says, "Who then will condemn us?" No one. No one. No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. See, God's for us. Jesus died for you. Jesus walked out of the grave. Why? So you could live in grace, without guilt, without the fear of being condemned in your life. You've been set free by grace. Live like it. You know, God comes into your life not to condemn you, but to give you grace, to love you, to help you grow. Yet often, don't we spend a good deal of time kind of condemning ourselves? I can't believe I did that. What's wrong with me? And it doesn't work, does it? Anybody grow from that? Doesn't bring growth. I mean, so if you don't grow by feeling really, really, really bad about stuff, and you don't grow by keeping a bunch of rules, I got to keep all these things, and you don't do it by doing lots of good things, well, what do? So you take the step, you get rid of the old, and you grow by putting on new. Putting on new. Paul says, so if anyone's in Christ, there's a new creation. I love this passage. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. That is a promise to you as a Christian. It's a promise that, God is working. Those that have put their trust in Jesus Christ, that have committed their lives and said, okay, God, I'm going to let you lead. We'll see where this goes. That is an incredible promise. Not just to a new set of rules for your life or a bunch of things to do, but it's a promise that the old is gone and that everything can be new. That God in his grace will give you several things so that you can move forward in your life. And this fact is, he gives you new life. You don't have to design the life. You don't have to put it together and figure it out. The fact is, the newness is a creation of God. You know, what happens is when we decide we're going to make the newness, this is what it needs to be, we mess it up. I mean, we mess it up big time. You have to put on the new that God's given to you. It's a little bit like this. It's not a great example, but it gets at it. Let's say that God gives you a new suit or a new dress. All right, and so I put the new dress on, all right, or suit. and I might. But God says, I've given you this new life, put it on. Here it is. You know, enjoy your new life. But because I know a lot better than God, I decide what I'm going to do with this new life that God wants me to put on is I'm going to hang it in my closet. And I'm going to design my own new life. And so even though I have no sewing skills and no designing skills that way, I sit down at the table and I start getting pieces of material and I start sewing and cutting and putting together. And I'm putting together this new life, that what it's supposed to look like and everything. And when I get done, I go, okay, God, look what I made for me to wear. Hey, you know, how am I looking? You proud of me now, God? And God's got to be looking, going, what are you doing? What are you doing? I gave you new life. It's a free gift. Why, it's in your closet. You know, why don't you go get it out and enjoy that new life? What are you doing? You can't create new life, Damon. What are you thinking? I've given you new life. And friends, when you put it on, everything becomes new in your life. But it's a decision that you have to make every single day. Hundreds and hundreds of times every day you begin to work out of this new life and you have to decide, am I going to put it on? Am I going to wear it? You know, picture it this way. You know, God says, I want you to take off that old junky coat you got and put on the new coat. You know, put on the new wardrobe. And before you were a believer, you couldn't put on the new. You couldn't take the old off. But once you become a believer, you have the capacity and the power and the motivation to make that choice. And so you take it off. But so many people struggle here. They struggle. They're like, yeah, I know you made all these changes in my life, God, but I'll be honest with you. I'm a lot more comfortable in my old coat. I'm more comfortable in my old ways. And friends, I will tell you, once you become a follower of Jesus Christ, that old way will get uncomfortable. The fact is, it doesn't fit anymore. You feel that tension in your life. And I think people get really creative with this. You know, some try and put the old coat on and then put the new one over the top. You know, some people try and wear them both. Yeah, doesn't feel right, does it? It's kind of bulky. Oh, it's awkward. You know, this isn't working. You know, some people are really good. I've watched through the years. People, they switch. Going to church this morning, put on my good coat. Going to work, got to get out the old coat, the old ways. And friends, I will tell you, it does not work. It does not work. God's process is that we take off the old permanently and we put on the new in our lives. You know, God will work with you in that process, or you can make the decision to ignore the process. But it's all about taking off the old attitudes, taking off the old thoughts, taking off the old beliefs about relationships or about sex or about marriage or about business or about disappointments in life, about trusting God. You know, it's about what God should or shouldn't do in my life. You gotta shift. It's a change. It's about putting on new attitudes. You know, new thoughts, you know, new beliefs in our lives, new lenses, so to speak. And when you put on new lenses, guess what? Everything changes. How you see things, how you see God, how you see God working in your life. In fact, when you put on lenses and you begin to see things as God would like you to see them, you begin to grow in your life. It makes you more likely to do what God's asking you to do. It makes growth possible when you have new lenses. It changes how you live. See, God didn't go, hey, I want to give you 10 more things to do in your life. Instead, God says, you know what? If you're going to grow, you got to be able to see like I see. And all of a sudden, I want you to look at every area of your life and every decision in your life, and I want you to see them the way I see them. And friends, when that happens, the potential for growth, it's big. I mean, you can change then. Some of you have already experienced that in your walk with God. You know, the putting off the old, putting on the new, seeing things the way God wants you to see them. And the fact is, you would take a stand today and go, you know what? I've changed. You've changed, not overnight. Wish it was overnight. But you've changed over time, right? Things that seemed ridiculous to you 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, a decade ago. Things that you looked at and you go, that does not make sense. Are you kidding me? You know, commands, verses, things that maybe you heard in a message or in a song or maybe read in a blog or a Christian book or something. At first, you had this attitude when you heard it. You go, yeah, right. Like, I'm going to do that. What a joke. And then over time, little by little, as your lenses change, you start going, well, I think that might make sense. I wish I'd have heard that several years ago. That's how God works. And when you begin working with God and allowing God to work with you, things that you were not able to do, all of a sudden, you're able to do, and they make sense. See, it's putting off the old, putting on the new. It affects every single decision, hundreds of times every single day. Following Jesus Christ is a constant decision of, I'm going to take off the old, I'm going to keep it off, and I'm going to put on new. We struggle, though, don't we? We struggle with growth in our lives. I mean, so many people go, yeah, oh, wow, I really like that. That makes sense. That's such a great idea. But there's never any movement toward it. You know, too many people have a hard time. They have a hard time letting go of the old. Letting go of the old ways. People have a hard time seeing themselves in a new way, seeing situations in a new way, seeing other people in a new way. And that's why the last step, and this is where it gets problematic, because people don't realize where they need to be empowered in their life, but this is the empowering piece. renewing your mind. You know, that gives you the power to put off the old ways, and to put on the new ways, the new attitudes, what have you. Paul writes this, do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what's good and acceptable and perfect. God wants to change the way you think. God wants to change the way you think about everything. Changing the way you think has the power to move you in life, has the power to grow you. So how do you renew your mind? Well, one, you start by spending time with God every day. You've got to spend time with God every day. The fact is, as you spend time with God, talking to God, listening to God, the more time you spend with God, the easier it is to kind of sense God's prompting. You know, the Holy Spirit, it'll nudge you. It'll give you a little direction in your life. You know, Paul writes the Galatians, he says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. See, it's the two extremes. For instance, let's say you got a problem with being short-tempered. And so what happens in that moment when something triggers, you take cheap shots at people. You know, you say things you shouldn't say. And in the moment, you kind of sense, oh man, I shouldn't do this, but you do it anyway. Now, I will tell you, that's the Holy Spirit. When you, that moment when you go, oh, I shouldn't do this, the Holy Spirit's going, don't. Maybe later, you kind of feel bad, but not real bad, but not bad enough to go do something about it. But then it keeps gnawing at you. See, the Holy Spirit working on you. And so you're having a conversation. Okay, God, I know that conversation, it got a little out of hand, and I said some things I shouldn't have said. But there needs to be that moment where you go, what should I do, God? Again, many times, you will sense what you need to do. It's how the Holy Spirit works. It's how God works. But you got to spend time talking to God. You know, you also got to spend time in God's Word, you know, reading Scripture, thinking about it, you know, allowing God's Word to kind of mold you and change you, to meditate on God's Word. You know, the psalmist says, your Word is a lamp to guide me and a light to my path. God's Word has the ability to challenge you in life, has the ability to convict you, to encourage you, to guide you, you know, to move you forward in your life where you need to go. You cannot renew your mind if you never read God's Word. Did you hear that? You cannot renew in life if you're not spending time in God's Word, thinking about God's Word, memorizing God's Word, allowing it to change how you live. The fact is, this morning, we're renewing ourselves this morning. You know, just by attending this service, you by worshiping, by listening, by sharing in God's with God's people, with one another, studying God's Word like we're doing right now, it's all about renewal. You know, moving you forward in life. When you spend time talking and listening to God and connecting with God and reading God's Word, what happens is your mind's renewed. It changes, doesn't it? Some of you are trying to change on your own. It hasn't worked, and it won't work. You know, thou shall and thou shall not has never worked. In fact, it's the reason some of you have kind of pushed back at God and you don't want a relationship with God, because you think that's what it's about. It's the reason why some of you have quit following and being passionate about your faith, because you failed so many times and you think that it was about keeping rules and doing stuff. Friends, some of you used to be a follower and you were passionate, but you, a long time ago, gave up. You know why? Because you got tired. On your own, you do not have enough strength to do what you need to do. And if you think you can grow by being good enough and doing stuff on your own, I will tell you, you're absolutely wrong. You're just setting yourself up for a heartache. You will wear yourself out if you haven't already. God's grace, friends, God's grace will move you. It is a process. It's a process of putting off the old, putting on the new, and renewing your mind on a regular basis so that you can grow, so that you can be who God's called you to be, so that you can celebrate and live life the way God would have you live it. You know, Galatians says, you began your life in Christ with the Spirit. Now do you try to complete it by your own power? That is what? Foolishness. Oh, come on, passion. Foolishness. It's foolishness. You began in Christ, and now you're going to, I'm going to do this on my own. You renew your life not by determination. It's being determined and dependent on God. You live the Christian life the same way that you started the Christian life. You start with grace. You live in grace. And friends, you grow in grace. You will make mistakes, but you grow in grace. Grace. Grace is the motivator. Grace is the power. The power is not found in you. It's found in God. It's found in the fact that God wants to work in us. And God is willing to help us change. That God works not only in you, but he's working for you. And that's really key. I will tell you, if I thought that my growth and my Christian walk was up to me, I'm not sure I'd be in the game. I mean, I'd have to get up every morning for the rest of my life, and I'd have to be motivated to grow. And I would get discouraged along the way. And here's the truth, whether I am motivated or not, whether I feel like it or not, God is always motivated. God is always motivated, and he's going to motivate you, and he's going to strengthen you and allow you to move forward if you just trust what God's doing, whatever he's doing in your life right now. Motivation comes from the power of God working inside you. See, growth's not about accomplishing by trying harder. Growth? Accomplished by trusting God. Takes all the weight off. Takes all the guilt off. You know, there's a promise, the book of Philippians, it's a promise that God's absolutely trustworthy, and it has everything to do with growth. And he writes this, God is the one, not you, God is the one who enables you both to want and to actually live out his good purpose. Have you ever remodeled a home before? I did years ago. When Cindy and I first got married, we remodeled a house. And when I bought the house, I looked it over, and I was young. And I thought, it doesn't need a whole lot. This would be a really nice place. And then I started working on it. And then I found out, much more extensive than I thought. You know, needed new wiring. The foundation had to be worked on. There were plumbing issues. And honestly, in short order, I realized much more involved than I first realized. Friends, the same thing's true in your life. God comes into your life, and you look around at your life as a new believer, And you go, yeah, I got this issue here. You know, God, could you help me? You know, could you help me with this wall in my life? It's got a little hole there. Could you help patch that up a little bit? If you'd help me fix that, God, that'd be great. And God goes, well, you know, the problem's a little bigger than that. Yeah. In fact, there's some faulty wiring behind the wall. Now, if there's faulty wiring behind the wall, what do you got to do to the wall? Many times you got to start tearing it out, you know? And at that point, I'm going, yeah, I just wanted the cosmetic stuff here, God. But God says, you know what, the problem here, it's much more complex. It's more intense. I'm convinced God doesn't show us all the work that needs to be done initially, because the fact is we'd freak out. We'd give up. In fact, some of us wouldn't even start because we'd go, wow, that's overwhelming. But what God does, God moves a little bit at a time, doesn't he? And he moves us from one thing to another in God's time, not ours, not our mates, not our families, God's time. And God moves us so that we're not overwhelmed, so it's not too painful. Now, there are times it's discouraging, because often when God's working in your life, sometimes things have to get worse before they get better, if you had that experience. But God's trustworthy. Why does God want to get to the wiring? Because he wants to change the power source in your life. See, God wants to give you more power than you could ever imagine. And God sees the dangers down the road that you don't see. And God knows at some point your system for dealing with life and dealing with problems and dealing with the struggles in life, it's going to short circuit. It's not going to work for you. At some point, there's got to be something different. And God wants the absolute best for you. Did you hear that? God wants the best for you. And that's why God's going to get at the wiring. See, God starts tearing away at the wall, and he starts fixing the wiring, and he starts rebuilding so that he can transform you, so that you can have that life that he promises is so abundant and rich and full of joy. You know, life is a giant restoration project, and you never outgrow the work that God's going to do. I don't care if you're 112 years old, God's still working. As long as you're breathing on this planet, God's working. And I challenge you today to let God move you and change you in your life and grow you. You have a life-giving opportunity that I'm going to offer you today. And it's a simple, simple prayer. And whether you've walked with God your whole life or yesterday, you decided, I'm in. And that is to say to God, I'm in. I'm in. I want to be a part of the process. I want you to restore and change who I am and work in my life. I want that abundant life. And God, if you'll move in me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. God, whatever needs to change, I'll change it. You know, wherever I need to go, I'll go. Whatever needs to be tore out, tear it out, I'll help you. And you let the grace of God move you and change you. It's that simple, just saying, God, okay, I'm in. Now here's homework. This is where you can put it to work in your life. Instead of going out of here, because I know some of you, and you've decided right now, I'm going to change everything. This week I am leaving, and I am going to get every area of my life put together, and I'm going to fix it all. Here's my advice to you. Pick one area. One area. One. Say one. 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 Not two, not three, not 10, not 100. One. And you ask God to guide you. and you ask God to start working there. Some of you, early on this morning, at some point in my message, you already had that prompting. You may have had it for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, or years. And you know where you need to start. See, the Holy Spirit's working there. Work on that. Where is it that you need to grow? Where is it you need to change? If you don't have something, come see me afterwards. I'll help you find something. We all have it. We all have it. Maybe it's the way you treat your spouse. Maybe it's how you treat your kids. Maybe it's how you handle finances, or how you're doing business, or how you treat people at work. Whatever it is, choose one thing. And then ask God to help you. Say, God, help me take off the old and help me put on the new. And then start renewing your mind in that area. Talk to God about it. Listen to God. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit there. You know, read what God's word has to say on the topic, whatever the topic is. You know, do a word search on it, and then find scripture and read those scriptures. And there are great biblical search engines out there. You know, BibleGateway.com. If you got a smartphone, get the app YouVersion Bible, and just type in, like, if it's I've got to learn how to treat my spouse better, then type in wife-husband relationship, how to treat my wife, how to treat my husband, and there'll be all kinds of scriptures, and read through those, and some of them will speak to you, some of them you go, and those ones wow. Those are the ones you probably really ought to be reading, but there'll be some of them don't make any sense for what you're talking about, and you can, just push them off to the side. But start allowing those to renew your mind. Talk to a Christian friend about it. Say, hey, what do you think about, this? And then work on that one thing, work on it this week, this month, this year. And when you feel like, at some point, as you've worked on it, you feel like, man, I'm starting to grow here. This is good. I'm making progress. I'm moving along. Then keep working on it and allow God to move you to another area. And again, you get one area. Pick one area and start doing it. I opened with the scripture out of Ephesians, and we read the NIV, but I like the way the Message translates this. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected to that old way of life has to go. It is rotten through and through. Get rid of it, and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Growth and change take time. You are saved by grace. You live in grace. And I would challenge you to let the grace of God move you to change. Let's stand for a word of prayer. We're going to close with Philippians 1:6. It says, God is the one. This is a promise. God's the one that began this good work in you. And I am certain that he won't stop before it is completed. Did you catch that? God began the work in you. And Paul says, I'm absolutely certain he will not stop till it's what? Completed. It's a promise from God, completed that day that Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, returns. And that we have to stand on. Let God's grace move you. Let God's grace move you, change you, and allow you to be who God has called you to be and wants you to be. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you. And God, I thank you for your grace. God, it has changed everything in my life. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just whisper. Every one of us here today, there's something that you've been whispering. That one area, that one thing that needs to be changed. And God, I pray as we walk out of this auditorium that your grace would move us. Your grace would change us. That we'd trust you. God, help us to be the people you have called us to be, you created us to be. And God, I thank you that we live in your grace. And all God's people said, let's worship together.